Chapter 21. He fought against fear and doubt. Paragraphs 1 through 3. Question. What had Peter witnessed during an eventful day, and what kind of night was he experiencing? Peter strained against the oar and peered into the night. Was that a faint glow he saw on the eastern horizon, a sign of dawn at last? The muscles of his back and shoulders burned from long hours of rowing. The wind that whipped his hair about had churned the Sea of Galilee into a rage. Wave after wave crashed against the prow of the fishing boat, soaking him with cold spray. He rowed on. Somewhere back there on shore, Peter and his companions had left Jesus by himself. That day, they had seen Jesus feed a hungry crowd of thousands with just a few loaves and fish. The people responded by seeking to make Jesus king, but he wanted no part of politics. He was also determined to keep his followers from cultivating such ambitions. Evading the crowds, he compelled his disciples to board the boat and head for the opposite shore while he went up into the mountain alone to pray.
John 6:14-17 reads, "Hence when the men saw the signs he performed, they began to say, 'This is for a certainty the prophet that was to come into the world.' Therefore Jesus, knowing they were about to come and seize him to make him king, withdrew again into the mountain all alone. When evening fell, his disciples went down to the sea, and boarding a boat, they set out across the sea for Capernaum. Well, by now it had grown dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them."
The moon, nearly full, had been high overhead when the disciples set out. Now it was sinking slowly toward the western horizon. Yet they had managed to travel only a few miles. The exertion and the constant roar of the wind and the waves made conversation difficult. Likely, Peter was alone with his thoughts. Paragraph 4. Question. What struggles make Peter's example an outstanding one for us to imitate? How much there was to think about. Peter had first met Jesus of Nazareth over 2 eventful years earlier. He had learned a great deal, but he still had much to learn. His willingness to do so, to struggle against such obstacles as doubt and fear, make him an outstanding example for us to imitate. Let us see why. We have found the Messiah. Paragraphs 5 and 6. Question. What kind of life did Peter lead? Peter would never forget the day he met Jesus. His brother Andrew had first brought him the astounding news, "We have found the Messiah." John 1:41. With those words, Peter's life began to change. It would never again be the same. Peter lived in Capernaum, a city on the northern shore of a freshwater lake called the Sea of Galilee. He and Andrew were partners with James and John, the sons of Zebedee, in a fishing business. Living with Peter were not only his wife, but also his mother-in-law and his brother Andrew. To support such a household by fishing surely required hard work, energy, and resourcefulness. We can imagine the countless long nights of labor, the men letting out the dragnets between 2 boats and hauling aboard whatever catch the lake afforded. We can also picture toilsome daylight hours as the fish were sorted and sold, the nets mended and cleaned. Paragraph 7. Question. What did Peter come to hear about Jesus, and why was the news thrilling? Andrew, the Bible tells us, was a disciple of John the Baptist. Peter surely listened to his brother's reports about John's message with intense interest. One day, Andrew saw John point out Jesus of Nazareth and say, "See, the Lamb of God." John 1:35-40. Andrew immediately became a follower of Jesus and eagerly told Peter this thrilling news. The Messiah had arrived. After the rebellion in Eden some 4,000 years earlier, Jehovah God had promised that a special individual would come to provide real hope for mankind. Andrew had met this very rescuer, the Messiah himself. Peter hurried off to meet Jesus as well. Paragraph 8. Question. What was the meaning of the name Jesus bestowed on Peter, and why do some still question that choice of a name? Until that day, Peter was known by the name Simon or Simeon. But Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, the son of John. You will be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. John 1:42. Cephas is a common noun meaning stone or rock. Evidently, Jesus' words were prophetic. He foresaw that Peter would become like a rock, a stable, sturdy, and reliable influence among Christ's followers. Did Peter see himself that way? It seems doubtful. Even some modern-day readers of the Gospel accounts see little that is rock-like in Peter. Some have suggested that his character as revealed in the Bible record seems to be unsteady, inconstant, vacillating. Paragraph 9. Question. What do Jehovah and his son look for, and why, do you think, should we trust their point of view? Peter did have his faults. Jesus was not blind to those. But Jesus, like his father Jehovah, was always looking for the good in people. Jesus saw much potential in Peter, and he sought to help him build on those good qualities. Jehovah and his son look for the good in us today, too. We may have a hard time believing that there is much good in us for them to find. However, we need to trust their viewpoint and prove ourselves willing to be trained and molded, as Peter was.
1 John 3:19-20 reads, "By this we shall know that we originate with the truth, and we shall assure our hearts before him as regards whatever our hearts may condemn us in, because God is greater than our hearts and knows all things."
Stop being afraid. Paragraph 10. Question. What did Peter likely witness? Yet, to what did he return? Peter likely accompanied Jesus on part of the preaching tour that ensued. He may thus have seen Jesus perform his first miracle, that of turning water into wine at the wedding feast in Cana. More important, he heard Jesus' marvelous and hope-filled message about the kingdom of God. Still, he tore himself away and returned to his fishing business. Some months later, though, Peter was again face to face with Jesus. And this time, Jesus invited Peter to follow him full-time as a way of life. Paragraphs 11 and 12. Question A. What kind of night's work had Peter endured? Question B. Listening to Jesus likely brought what questions to Peter's mind? Peter had just endured a discouraging night's work. Again and again the fishermen had let down their nets only to haul them in empty. Peter surely brought all his experience and ingenuity to bear on the problem, trying various spots in the lake to find where the fish were feeding. No doubt there were times when he, like so many fishermen, wished he could peer right into the murky waters to find the schools of fish or somehow will them into his nets. Of course, such thoughts could only deepen his frustration. This was no pleasure sport for Peter. People depended on him to catch fish. Finally, he came ashore empty-handed. The nets had to be cleaned. He was thus busily engaged when Jesus approached. A crowd was pressing in on Jesus, eagerly taking in his every word. Hemmed in by them, Jesus got into Peter's boat and asked him to pull away a bit from land. With his voice carrying clearly over the water, Jesus taught the crowd. Peter listened with rapt attention, as did those ashore. He never tired of hearing Jesus develop the central theme of his preaching, the kingdom of God. What a privilege it would be to help the Christ spread this message of hope throughout the land. But would that be practical? How would Peter feed his family? Perhaps Peter thought again of the long and fruitless night behind him. Paragraphs 13 and 14. Question. What miracle did Jesus perform for Peter, and how did Peter react? When Jesus finished speaking, he told Peter, "Pull out to where it is deep, and you men let down your nets for a catch." Peter was full of doubt. He said, "Instructor, for a whole night we toiled and took nothing, but at your bidding I will lower the nets." Luke 5:4-5. Peter had just washed off the nets. Surely the last thing he wanted to do was lower them yet again, especially now when the fish would not even be feeding. Still, he complied, likely signaling to his partners in a second boat to follow them. Peter felt an unexpected weight as he started hauling in the nets. Incredulous, he pulled harder, and before long he could see a great mass of fish wriggling within the mesh. Frantically, he motioned to the men in the second boat to come to help. As they did, it soon became apparent that one boat could not contain all these fish. They filled both vessels, but there were too many. The boats started to sink under the weight. Peter was overwhelmed with astonishment. He had seen Christ's power in action before, but this instance was so personal. Here was a man who could even cause the fish to enter the nets. Fear welled up in Peter. He sank to his knees and said, "Depart from me, because I am a sinful man, Lord." How could he ever prove worthy to associate with one who wielded the very power of God in such ways?
Luke 5:6-9 reads, "Well, when they did this, they enclosed a great multitude of fish. In fact, their nets began ripping apart. So they motioned to their partners in the other boat to come and assist them. And they did come, and they filled both boats, so that these began to sink." Seeing this, Simon Peter fell down at the knees of Jesus, saying, "Depart from me, because I am a sinful man, Lord." For at the catch of fish which they took up, astonishment overwhelmed him and all those with him.
Paragraph 15. Question. How did Jesus teach Peter that his doubts and fears were unfounded? Jesus kindly said, "Stop being afraid. From now on, you will be catching men alive." Luke 5:10-11. This was no time for doubt or fear. Peter's doubts about such practical matters as fishing were unfounded. His fears about his own faults and inadequacies were just as baseless. Jesus had a great work to do, a ministry that would change history. He served a God who will forgive in a large way. Isaiah 55:7. Jehovah would take care of Peter's needs, both physical and spiritual. Paragraph 16. Question. How did Peter, James, and John respond to Jesus' invitation, and why was it the best decision they could make? Peter responded quickly, as did James and John. They brought the boats back to land and abandoned everything and followed him. Luke 5:11. Peter put faith in Jesus and in the one who sent him. It was the best decision he could make. Christians today who overcome their doubt and fear to take up service to God are likewise showing faith. Such trust in Jehovah is never misplaced. Why did you give way to doubt? Paragraph 17. Question. Peter had what memories of the 2 years since meeting Jesus? Some 2 years after meeting Jesus, Peter rode through that windy night on the Sea of Galilee as mentioned at the outset of this chapter. Of course, we cannot know what memories crossed his mind. There were so many to choose from. Jesus had healed Peter's mother-in-law. He had delivered the Sermon on the Mount. Again and again, through his teaching and his powerful works, he had demonstrated that he was Jehovah's chosen one, the Messiah. As the months passed, Peter's faults, such as his tendency to give in to impulses of fear and doubt, had surely subsided to a degree. Jesus had even chosen Peter to be one of the 12 apostles. Still, Peter had not yet vanquished fear and doubt, as he would soon learn. Paragraphs 18 and 19, Part A. Describe what Peter saw on the Sea of Galilee. Question B. How did Jesus grant Peter's request? During the fourth watch of that night, or sometime between 3 a.m. and sunrise, Peter suddenly stopped rowing and sat bolt upright. There, across the waves, something was moving. Was it the spray of the waves catching the moonlight? No, it was too steady, too upright. It was a man. Yes, a man, and he was walking on the surface of the sea. As the figure neared, it looked as though he was going to walk right by them. Terrified, the disciples thought it was some kind of apparition. The man spoke, "Take courage, it is I, have no fear." Matthew 14:25-28. It was Jesus. Peter responded, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you over the waters." His first impulse was a courageous one. Full of excitement at this unique miracle, Peter sought to have his faith further confirmed. He wanted to be part of the action. Kindly, Jesus beckoned him. Peter clambered over the side of the vessel and down onto the undulating surface of the sea. Imagine Peter's sensation as he found solid footing beneath him and then stood on top of the waters. He must have been filled with wonder as he made his way toward Jesus. However, another impulse soon welled up in him.
Matthew 14:29 reads, "He said, 'Come.' Thereupon Peter, getting down off the boat, walked over the waters and went toward Jesus."
Paragraph 20. Question A. How did Peter lose his focus, and with what result? Question B. What lesson did Jesus drive home to Peter? Peter needed to keep his focus on Jesus. It was Jesus, using the power of Jehovah, who was keeping Peter above the windswept waves. And Jesus was doing so in response to Peter's faith in him. But Peter got distracted. We read, "Looking at the windstorm, he got afraid." Peter took in an eyeful of those waves crashing against the boat, tossing spray and foam to the wind, and he panicked. He probably imagined himself sinking in that lake, drowning there. As fear rose in his heart, his faith sank. The man who had been named Rock because of his potential for steadiness began to sink like a stone because of his wavering faith. Peter was an able swimmer, but he did not rely on that ability now. He cried out, "Lord, save me!" Jesus caught him by the hand and pulled him up. Then, while still on the water's surface, he drove home this important lesson to Peter. "You with little faith, why did you give way to doubt?" Matthew 14:30-31. Paragraph 21. Question. Why is doubt dangerous, and how can we fight against it? Give way to doubt. What an apt phrase. Doubt can be a powerful, destructive force. If we yield to it, it can eat away at our faith and cause us to sink spiritually. We need to fight back vigorously. How? By keeping the right focus. If we dwell on what scares us, what discourages us, what distracts us from Jehovah and His Son, we will find our doubts growing. If we focus on Jehovah and His Son, on what they have done, are doing, and will do for those who love them, we will keep corrosive doubts at bay. Paragraph 22. Question. Why is Peter's faith worth imitating? As Peter followed Jesus up into the boat, he saw the storm die down. Quiet fell on the Sea of Galilee. Peter joined his fellow disciples in declaring, "You are really God's Son." Matthew 14:33. As dawn broke over the lake, Peter's heart must have soared. He repudiated doubt and fear. Granted, he had a long way to go before he became the rock-like Christian that Jesus foresaw, but he was determined to keep trying, to keep growing. Do you have such determination? You will find that Peter's faith is worth imitating. Questions to think about. How did Peter overcome his doubts about following Jesus? How did Jesus show that he saw the good in Peter? On the Sea of Galilee, what did Peter learn about giving way to doubt? In what ways would you like to imitate Peter's faith?